Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome in to the show on tax day. Hopefully you've gotten all that taken care of. I remember Kim St. Ange, this used to be something we would do on evenings on Channel 4 years ago. I can specifically remember covering it a few times as the reporter on the street. We would go down here to the main post office in downtown St. Louis and do a live shot for the 10 o'clock news as people were lined up to drop their taxes off at the mailbox. And there'd be somebody standing there with a stamp from the post office, stamping it so that it was dated on the 15th so they wouldn't be late with their tax bill.
How things have changed.
No kid. They just don't do that anymore, mm-hmm. Right?
You don't need to. You just submit. Everything's online
now. It can be done, submitted electronically. You don't have to do it that way. I just assume that we moved away from having to get to the post office on the 15th.
Like, think about how things have changed even as far as, like, depositing a check. Now yes. You can, a lot of banks allow you to take a picture of the check and deposit it that way. Like, how often do you really need to go to the bank these days?
It's true. Yeah. I think we ended up owing $3 to the state of Missouri, and we just paid it electronically. So that was nice.
You have to move some money around?
I had to shift a few things, yeah. sell some stocks and... send the $3 in. We work in radio, right? I mean, we're not Elon Musk here. It's tax day. You might notice the musical theme this morning. Carl Middleman's done a really good job with all the different, money songs.
Yeah. One of them was really cool last hour, like making the dollar noises and the change noises.
Money. Is that the one, Carl?
It's called Money? Oh, yeah. Really? Okay, well, very original.
Pink Floyd. Have you ever met him?
Wait, have I ever, what?
Pink Floyd, have
He's
you met
making
him?
Fun of you.
Oh, okay. I know who Pink Floyd, I know of Pink Floyd.
Okay. Just kidding you, Kim. That's all. That was
Haters
a really cool
gonna
song
hate.
With the money and the cash registers. That's great. Coming up, we'll get to real or fake news. We got to at the bottom of the hour. We're going to check in over in London today with Jonathan Savage, who's a Fox News reporter, reporting on, well, first of all, Iran threatened to attack. Joe Biden said don't. They did it anyway. Israel and the U.S. intercepted all the drones that made it just about. Nobody was really injured. And now the U.S. is begging them, the Israelis, not to retaliate after being attacked. They're begging our ally not to retaliate. Imagine the outrage here if that happened. We're going to cover that for you at 7:35. We're going to talk more about that next hour. We'll get Tom Ackerman in to talk about the end of the Blues season. I know there's one game left, but it's effectively over now. It's all over, but the tee time's being set. That's coming next, I'm sure. That's all coming up, but first let's get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
El Monte Africa!
El Monte Africa!
El Monte Africa!
Yeah, yeah. Let me translate. Those are the protesters in Michigan who hate America. They're chanting death to America is what they're chanting there, and yet nobody seemed to bat an eye about it.
We understand you're exercising your right to free speech. Okay, you go to Gaza right now and you chant death to Hamas. See how many seconds you live.
Yeah. Yeah, please try that for us. But, I mean, of course, a bomb could fall on your head while you're over there. But still, besides that, the terrorists in Hamas will not take kindly to your free speech rights that you only have in America.
With all of the things they did, with millions of pages of study, they found nothing, which makes me perhaps the most honest guy almost in the world, I think.
Well, Donald Trump speaking out this weekend. And, of course, he's talking about the fact that today he will be in a courtroom. That Stormy Daniels trial is getting underway in New York. They're going to select a jury today.
It's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all of that.
Did you have that on your bingo card? I have to ask.
I did not.
John Fetterman coming out and criticizing the Biden administration for their stance toward Israel. That's why I was anxious to get Jonathan Savage on this morning to talk more about Israel's reaction. I've not seen much about that in the mainstream media. The bottom line is, for the most part, I think Benjamin Netanyahu has started to ignore Joe Biden. Right? The press, they leaked the transcript of Biden's conversation with him the other day to try to damage Netanyahu. You have to understand that in Israel, this is not in dispute. The people of Israel had some issues with Netanyahu before they were attacked mercilessly by terrorists on October 7th. But they've got sort of a bipartisan coalition that's running this war right now. And survival is their primary goal, surrounded by a bunch of people who hate them. And you've got the leader of the free world, Joe Biden, giving them what he believes is sage advice when it comes to Iran attacking them. This was his advice to Iran before that happened. Cut eight, please.
Mr. President, what is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
I'm really scared right now, so I'm going to need a minute to compose myself, because that was a very terrifying message that our president sent.
Yeah, my guess is the Ayatollah or whoever runs Iran probably went into hiding after.
Oh, I bet they ran.
It's a lack of authority. It's what it is, and they don't respect that. Here's a Reza Pahlavi, who is the Iranian crown prince, who obviously his family was deposed many years ago, but he's Iranian, and he said what happened here is that we have emboldened Iran if we don't react to this. Listen, hang on. This is audio operator error on Mark's part. Here we go. Carl, hold on.
Money to a regime and give it more means to finance its proxies and use brutality at home. Basically, appeasement has proven that it only emboldens the regime. We said that a long time ago. In fact, as you indicated last year when I visited Israel, part of our discussions with Israeli leaders, and for that matter, other leaders around the world, has been precisely this. If you let the regime be emboldened by the fact that they can count on appeasement or paying ransom for the release of hostages or not imposing oil sanctions, which gave the regime almost an extra $100 billion, the fact that the current administration is trying to release even yet more money to the regime, about $10 billion of Iranian electricity revenue from the Iraqis. What do you think is going to happen next? I think there's a direct correlation between appeasement and doing these kind of things and the regime becoming emboldened.
They have no reason to respect this administration because of all the money they've been given.
I mean,
and empty threats.
Has anybody actually come out recently and criticized the Biden administration for unfreezing $6 billion or whatever it was in assets for Iran?
Well, Republicans remind them of that all the time. But it just falls on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. They didn't do that. That's not true. But it is true. Whether they've accessed it or not, they can move it elsewhere. And that money has gone directly to fund terrorism. There's no doubt. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. We're going to go to Real or Fake News Quiz. Your reigning champion will try to win again today. Thank you.
And humble champion, if you will.
Of course. And we're going to get to Jonathan Savage at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
Well, our reigning champion is Mark Cox.
Thank you.
Because last week he won by only one.
That and does not seem to be in dispute, Carl.
Is the
this year.
The one that's disputing? Are you going to dispute this week?
No, I'm just so proud of Mark being so humble about his wins.
I had a long dry streak there. So.
Yeah, she won six in a row.
I get it. It's a big deal that you won.
It is a big deal.
I'm still the Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Ethan has
last.
But Kim has six wins. Mark has four. He's catching up.
He has three with an additional win with an asterisk.
Yeah, she put the S in it.
She knows. Yeah. She believes. She understands. I like your answer. All right, so anyway, yesterday was the Masters. And Mark, since you're a returning champion, you'll go first. Real or fake, for the first time in history, more people played golf on an off-course venue than on golf courses. Real or fake?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what
I don't understand that question.
Off-course venue.
Like Dave & Buster's or a Topgolf or...
So like Golden Tee?
No, not
Golden Tee, but like...
Simulators.
No, okay. Because Topgolf, you're still hitting the ball.
So was that just yesterday or just in
for
general?
For the first time in history, last year, more people played golf on an off-course venue than a golf course.
Is that worldwide or just in the U.S.?
I'm not narrowing it down
Mark,
for
this
you
isn't
anymore.
20 it's questions. This fake. Is real or fake news.
Okay, I'm going to call that fake, but I'm worried. Because if it's worldwide, there are places they don't have enough golf courses, so that could skew the statistics. But if it's in the U.S., I'm calling it fake.
Kim Sainach.
I'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go real.
It is real. More people. It doesn't say worldwide or in the United States. It just says...
Why in the hell, unless it's winter time, would you want to go play...
We just built another Top Golf here in St. Louis.
Yeah, but that's not golf. Golf is when you go play 9 or 18 holes. Like, that's golf.
Now he's doing it.
Here we go.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I still think it's some BS.
Today is tax day, so let's do some little tax things. Kim St. Ange, real or fake, 63% of IRS audits were aimed at filers making less than $200,000 a year. 63%. Filers making less than 200K.
This isn't like, it's actually 58% versus 63.
The number is either yes or no.
Okay, sure. We'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to say real, too.
Mark Cox.
Yeah, I got to go with real on that one.
That is correct. It is 63% of all audits were on filers making less than $200,000. So that means they're going after the little guy, not
the
big guys.
That's kind of sad.
Ethan Bright, another tax question. Less than 35% of today's jobs did not exist in 1940. Real or fake?
I'm going to say that fake.
Mark Cox.
Real.
Kim Sainage.
I'll say fake.
It is fake. It is 70% of all jobs did not exist in 1940.
What do you think about all the technology?
I know, that's what I was thinking.
AI now.
That's a trick question.
It's not. I said less than
35%.
Champions
getting a little bitter.
Mark's going to flip this table over.
Get out of the bitter barn, Mark, and play in some hay.
Wow. Wow.
Ouch. Mark Cox, real or fake? The IRS said it has received more than 150 million tax returns ahead of today's deadline.
Fake.
Kim Sainage.
I didn't listen because I was thinking about my bitter barn comment. What did you say?
The IRS has received more than 150 million tax returns before today.
Fake.
Ethan Bright.
Yeah, I'm going to go fake.
It is fake. It's only 100 million.
Yeah, that sounds closer. Yeah.
Math. Look at the math queen. All right, math queen. Real or fake, a man pled guilty to a theft of a solid gold toilet worth $6 million from a palace in England.
Sounds stupid enough to be real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go true.
Yeah, that's real.
It is real. It actually happened, and he got caught.
How do you steal a toilet? Like, carry it out. They're huge.
And solid gold would weigh a lot.
Yes. You would think.
Why did you make a solid gold toilet is the other question. Do you know what you do in a toilet? Why would you want to have that gold?
Ethan Bright, real or fake? An ultra-rare moon pie package misprint from the last eclipse sold for nearly $3,000. Real or fake?
I'll say real.
Mark Cox.
I'll say real.
Kim I'll say real.
It's fake.
Oh.
Made that one up. Yay. Mark Cox, real or fake? Cicadas are the queens of pee. They have a more odorous urine than any other animal in the animal kingdom. Real or fake?
Fake.
Kim Sainage.
I'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to say real.
It's real.
These two are teaming up against
me. They're also tied.
He decides whatever she says.
We have to go, and it's still damn tied. All right, and you know what? It's just between the two of you. Real or fake? Kim Sainage, PetSmart will pay to cover up your tattoo. Real or fake?
What do you mean, pay to cover up your tattoo?
That is the words that I just said.
Okay. PetSmart?
Yeah. PetSmart.
It sounds weird enough. Sure, true.
Ethan Bright.
I'll go fake to end it.
It is real. So we have a winner. Kim Sainage. Lucky number 7.
Winning.
And oh, Mark, I believe they were actually teaming up against
each other. I do feel bad because I think Ethan said fake just because I had already said real.
That is exactly
true. So
he's
an honorary winner today.
Chicken crap.
Don't be a sore loser, Mark.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to check in with Jonathan Savage and get the lowdown on what's happening in Israel this morning. Stay tuned.
It's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones towards Israel, and I'm not going to be talking about conditions ever. And second, I think that also was Iran had to have some fireworks after Israel smoked that Iranian general. And I am here for that. And I think it's just a matter of theater part of it as well, too. And it demonstrates how unstable things are and why we need to lean in and stand with Israel.
Wow. Senator John Fetterman, the Democrat, being pretty critical of the Biden administration for their handling of this attack by Israel and telling the Israelis to back off when it comes to retaliation. We've got Jonathan Savage from Fox News Radio on the phone this morning. And Jonathan, what is the latest in Israel? The attack is all over. They're not expecting any more at this point, correct?
No, they're not. And indeed, Iran really has indicated that that's it for now, that it considers its retaliation to be over and done with. Retaliation for an airstrike on its consulate in Syria that killed a number of people, including two top commanders. Israel has said that in response to these 300 drones and missiles, it will do something, but it hasn't said what that something is going to be. The Israeli War Cabinet has been meeting in recent hours, and what's being reported from the BBC is that Israel's military has presented them with a range of options for potential strikes against Iran. But as we were just hearing there, the US government is one of many governments urging Israel to show restraint.
Yeah, I see that. You know, the thing that struck me about this is that if Iran was serious about causing damage, wouldn't they have launched this attack without warning them in advance? Because by doing so, it gave them at least a couple of hours' notice that these missiles were incoming, right?
Yeah, there is some confusion about that. Certainly, Iran's attack was expected. The U.S. moved military equipment, military assets closer to the region in order to help defend the inevitable attack. President Biden, I believe, returned from Delaware to the White House in time for it. This was something that had been talked about and forewarned. But there are claims from Iran that it gave 72 hours notice of what it was going to do. Israel and the UK rejecting those claims. So some confusion about how much Israel knew. There's no doubt that Israel knew something was coming. And perhaps with these 300 drones and missiles only causing slight damage, only causing one injury, Iran either knew they'd be intercepted or was expecting or hoping to cause more damage or cause more casualties than they actually did.
Do you think that Israel would then give Iran some sort of a heads up? Because we've seen them do that as it relates to Gaza. We've seen them say, hey, heads up, this is the area we're going to invade. This is the area we're going to attack. So people can move, civilians can leave.
Sometimes this happens, especially in the circumstances where civilian lives are going to be put at risk. But what we've seen in this low-key, until now, shadow war between Iran and Israel are targeted strikes, assassinations almost. The incident which caused this particular spark to turn into a flame was an alleged attack by Israel on the Iranian embassy consulate building in Syria. Killed a number of people, destroyed a single building in a heavily built-up area, very targeted, and two senior generals from Iran were killed in that.
You know, Jonathan, my question here is, what is the situation on the ground in Israel? There's a lot of talk over here about Joe Biden's conflict with Netanyahu over how Gaza is being handled and the like. Is there a sense in Israel, do you know, whether or not there is widespread support for Benjamin Netanyahu?
Benjamin Netanyahu hasn't really been a leader who's had massive support. I mean, he's only in power because he was able to cobble together a coalition of people who were really to the right even of him in terms of their social views, their religious views, and their nationalistic views. And many have said that because Benjamin Netanyahu put himself as the face of Israeli defense, if you will, said that he was the man who could keep Israel safe, and yet the October the 7th massacre happened on his watch, people say that's a reason why he shouldn't be in power for very much longer. So, yes, he is really part of a long-term struggle to maintain power, and it could be that people will look at this situation and say, look, Benjamin Netanyahu, you're really not the man for the job anymore.
Interesting. Jonathan Savage, thank you for your reporting this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep, take care. He's live over in London this morning, keeping an eye on that.
I wonder what kind of retaliation Israel would do, and would they give Iran a heads up? I feel like they will. I feel like something tells me they will.
Remember when Donald Trump took out that general, that Iranian general, the Iranians felt like they needed to do something. So they warned the American base that they were about to send some rockets in, which gave them an opportunity to evacuate part of it. And the rockets only did minimal damage. But again, they did it to try to prove to their people they were showing strength. And the people in Iran never learned that the missiles didn't accomplish anything. They just knew that they were fired, and they just used it as a way to show strength. Here's what I think is interesting. You know that I am no fan of John Bolton. I think John Bolton backstabbed Donald Trump repeatedly. What he called this, though, is a massive failure on the part of Israel and America. And he's calling for a massive retaliation on the part of Israel. And I'm not hearing anybody else say this morning. Listen to what Bolton said yesterday.
Well, what Iran did tonight that I think was most significant was the firing of ballistic missiles and cruise missiles from its territory directly at Israel. Almost certainly at this point, none of those missiles contained a nuclear warhead. But you never can tell when the next firing, the next salvo of ballistic missiles might contain a nuclear warhead. So I think among the many targets Israel should consider, this is the opportunity to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program. And I hope President Biden is not trying to dissuade Prime Minister Netanyahu from doing that. And if he succeeds, and if at some future point the Ayatollahs are able to pull off what former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon called a nuclear holocaust, history will know who to blame.
Wow.
I mean, I support Israel fighting back, but I also think there has to be, I mean, at what point are we going to get into a bigger war in the Middle East? So I don't know how you strike that balance, but that doesn't mean, of course, I still support Israel defending itself.
Yeah, I don't want a war in the Middle East, but yeah. It's only going to get worse if Israel does not strike back at Iran. It's just going to get worse because they'll know they can get away with it again. What we don't think they have is an Iron Dome. So if Israel's likely to be much more successful if it counterstrikes. And they won't warn Iran that it's coming. I'll guarantee you that. That will not happen. All right, next hour, we are going to talk to Jessie Jane Duff. Of course, she's a former U.S. Marine Corps gunnery sergeant, and she sets it straight. She tells it how it is. I'm anxious to hear her take on this scam of a trial up in New York that gets underway with jury selection this morning. Plus, Tom Ackerman is going to join us as well to talk maybe more about the end of the blues season. And we'll be back right after this. Little Sammy there, huh? What's the title of that song, Carl?
Love or Money.
Ah, nice. I got to see Aaron Hagar, the son of Sammy, last night. He was out at the Funny Bone in St. Charles with my friends Brian and Mike and Sonny and the gang in Divine Sorrow. They played some Sammy Hagar with him. And he sang. He sounded just like his dad. It was great. It was fantastic. Great, great guy. I'll post some pictures up this morning.
And you got recognized, and he didn't.
Oh, well, I mean, people knew why they were there. I just didn't know if they knew that he was the one standing next to me. That's all, Carl.
That was funny.
Yeah, that's pretty funny stuff. I don't know. This story about Disney that Kim pointed out to me is interesting because I guess you can identify as a girl if you're a boy, or if you're a girl, you can identify as a boy, or if you're anybody, you could identify as a big fluffy dog, but you can't identify as disabled, right? That's still a no-no?
I guess not according to Disney.
Like maybe you feel in your brain like you're not up to par, and you want to identify as disabled. I think Disney may be stepping into a landmine here. They've announced that they will ban you from your lifetime, if you lie about having a disability to access some of their rides. Is that what it is?
Yeah, because you can get this specific pass if you have a disability, and essentially it allows you to get a return time for attractions rather than having to wait in that long line.
Wow.
It's fraud.
It found that some people have made false statements in order to obtain disability access services, and as a result of that, they will be permanently banned from the parks.
There is something where people feel like they were, say, born with two legs, and they feel like more or less God made a mistake, and they think, I really should only have one leg. And some of them will try to get their other leg amputated. I mean, I forget what the name of it is, but there is actually a thing that describes someone like that. So what if someone went to Disney and said, I identify like this? who would then Disney be, according to Disney's own logic, to say, no, you're not? How would that then not be discriminatory? You're not allowing me to identify as disabled.
I will just guess right now that somebody is preparing a lawsuit against Disney. Right? Because who's Disney? Who is Disney to say whether or not you identify as somebody with a disability? What if you have a mental disability? Mm-hmm. You disagree with your doctor's diagnosis. Disney's going to ban you from getting a pass.
Yep. And that's the thing. Once you use their logic, you can't ever win because somebody's going to change it. That's the problem. If you don't just have the truth and you have your own truth, it's just constantly changing. You can't keep up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's woke Disney for you. Unbelievable. All right. Coming up, Jesse Jane Duff on the lawsuit, the trial that gets underway today for Donald Trump.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.